Hello and welcome to the Stellantis Full Year 2022 Results. I will now hand over to our host.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kilowatt. My name is Bodhi, and I am your host. And this episode, we are going to cover Stellantis's H2 earnings call. Stellantis doesn't do an earnings call every quarter. They do it at the six-month mark and at the one-year mark. I didn't know you could do that, but apparently you can. So, yeah, that's pretty interesting. As a result, this was a two-hour-long earnings call. It was insane. We are not going to go anywhere near 2 hours for this episode. This is heavily edited, only down to the bits and pieces that involve EVs and nothing else, trimmed all of the fat. Before we get into that, though, I was really fortunate on Monday, which was, I'm recording this on a Wednesday, so the 2 days ago, I got to sit down with Allison Sheridan of the No Silicast, and we talked about three EVs that are under the price of $30,000. The EVs we discussed were the BYD Seagull, the ID2 All, which is also called the ID2. I guess the ID2 All is the concept. I don't know. I'm still learning more about this terrible name that they've decided to give it. And then we talked about the GWM Aura. Now, when you're my friend, sometimes you have to deal with the bozo tax. And the bozo tax is when I am frazzled and have a hard time saying words and talking. Sometimes I'm all over the place. Forming thoughts is difficult. Allison, who is my friend, had to deal with the Bodhi bozo tax on this episode. I think the episode turned out fine. It was a lot of fun. We had a little bit of a false start. I said a swear word. We had to start over all over again. So, yeah. Sorry, Allison. I appreciate it. And I love you. You're a nice person to let me start over again. But anyway, this is going to come out on Sunday, as far as I know. So go to podfeet.com for more information. You can also go to your podcatcher and you can type in NosillaCast, N-O-S-I-L-L-A cast. And she's got another very good podcast called Chit Chat Across the Pond. But honestly, podfeet.com is going to be your best source. All right, I have one more announcement, but I'm going to save that till the end because I want to respect your time. Let's go ahead and jump into Stellantis's H2 2022 earnings call. Like I said, this was 2 hours long, and they only do these, as best as I can tell, every 6 months. You have H1, which will happen in June, and H2. So, yeah, really, really interesting way to do things. Also, Stellantis got the memo. They have excellent audio quality. Some of the callers, like the analyst calls, are really hard to understand. But the actual presenters from Stellantis did a fantastic job. And you can actually hear and understand them. They got good quality mics in their whatever room they were recording in. So kudos to you, Stellantis. Carlos Tavares is the CEO. He has opening remarks. These opening remarks were 39 minutes long, and he talked nonstop, and he didn't make any mistakes for 39 minutes. I can't record this podcast for 2 minutes without having to re-record a section. So this was less of an opening remarks by Carlos. This was more of a TED Talk. I've broken this down into several small parts, and of course, we did not you're not going to hear 39 minutes of Carlos talking. You're only going to hear several small sections. So let's go ahead and jump into Carlos Tavares' opening remarks.
Let's get started. It's an understatement to say that 2022 has been a challenging year. It has been a year where we saw rising geopolitical tensions, regulatory chaos, supply chain disruptions, strong inflation, and despite all of those headwinds, our company has demonstrated once again that we are resilient, that we are an all-weather company, and that we deliver results. This is a very high-level summary of 2022. I would like to express to each and every of the Stellantis employees my sincere and very warm consideration, my deep thanks for what they have done for the company. They have demonstrated that they are a great team. They are resilient. They are focused. They have a great business sense. And here we are to celebrate today the results they have achieved. I would like also to express my sincere appreciation to our union partners. They have been highly mature, having a perfect understanding of what's going on in the world, understanding that the challenges that are in front of the company right now are external challenges. And because those challenges are external, it's best to align internally to get things done and to execute our strategic plan. So I would like also to express to our union partners my sincere appreciation. Last but not least, the Stellantis board has demonstrated a very strong support to the management and to the employees, always with demanding questions, yet helping the company to move forward. We are in the second year of Stellantis, so it's important that the board is fully supporting what we are doing. It is perfectly the case. And I would like to thank the board for their trust and for the autonomy and support that they have given us. We continue to execute our Dare Forward 2030. Just taking an example of electrification, we have currently 23 electric vehicles on sale. By the end of this year, we'll have 32, nine more. And by the end of next year, 24, we will double what we have today, as we'll be at 47 pure BEVs by the end of this year. It's also important that you realize that the 41 sales BEV growth rate has been achieved only with European sales, which means that we didn't even start the BEV offensive in the US market, but we are going to start this year. From this year, in 2023, we introduced the Ram ProMaster EV in the US market. So from this year, we start the EV offensive in the US market, and we achieved 41% sales growth in 22, mostly on the basis of the European sales. It is also important to recognize that we are by far the leaders of the LCV market in Europe, and that in Europe, in the LCV BEV market, we have 42.7% of market share in the LCV BEV market. So you see, what this demonstrates is that the technology of Stellantis in terms of electrification is very much appreciated by the consumers. We were blessed with the fact that the first product that has been launched in the Stellantis era, the Jeep Avenger, the first ever pure Jeep EV, has been awarded Car of the Year, which is a very strong recognition of our capability. And therefore, it gives the team another encouragement to move fast and strong in this transformation. We are the number two in BEV sales in the European market, number two, being number one in France with the Peugeot E208 and number one in Italy with the Fiat New 500. So again, our pure EV cars are appreciated and the technology is demonstrating a great deal of maturity. Our market share in LEV is at 15.7. In pure BEV, our market share is at 16.2. And we were, to a certain extent, hurt by an outbound logistic problem that has been reducing our market share in Europe. And this is one of the operational issues that we are now fixing. It's an opportunity to do better in 2023. I believe that in the next couple of months, this will be behind us. It has been painful. We have understood where the outbound logistic issues were. We are addressing them. There are multiple. It's not one single reason, but we are addressing each of them with a specific action plan. We have also delivered on what we committed to you by being now live on the electric motor production in our Trémery plant in France. And we are going to be live in the H1 2023 on the electric transmissions. And I would add to this that on the second half of 2023, we will be producing battery cells in our first European gigafactory. So in 2023, our first gigafactory in Europe in Douvrin will be operating on the D samples to validate the production and then go full production by the beginning of next year. So Enlarge Europe is on track to deliver its electrification plan. Enlarge Europe is highly profitable, doing a great job in terms of BEV sales. There is potential to do better. There is potential to go faster once we solve our outbound logistic issues, and we will. And our manufacturing footprint is now ready, not only to manufacture the electric components like the motors and the e-transmissions, but very soon to manufacture the battery cells. It's also important that you realize that our BEV sales growth in Europe is among the best, if not the best of the industry, including against people that you generally consider as being the leaders on this matter.
Let's start with the issues that he sees. These are the same issues that all of the other auto manufacturers are seeing when we've listened to these earnings calls. The issues are geopolitical, supply chain, and inflation. Hopefully inflation is going to turn around and we won't go into a recession, or we won't slip further into a recession, depending on who you talk to. Supply chain, like I said, that seems to be working itself out. It seems like we're at the end of supply chain issues, although there is some lingering problems. I don't know. I can't remember if he talked about it in this clip, but later on, he's going to talk about some production issues that Stellantis had that they are correcting. And then there's really nothing that a company like Stellantis or, you know, individuals are going to do about the geopolitical issues, because there's just a lot going on in the world right now. One of the things that I really like when CEOs take the time to thank their employees, and if the organization works with unions, they thank the unions. And he did that. Carlos took the time to do that. And I really felt he was genuine in this regard. I don't know him. This is the first time. I didn't even know he existed before this earnings call, to be honest with you. So I don't know if he's being genuine, but I felt like he was being genuine, because this was a theme throughout the call. And he made a lot of effort to make sure to say he appreciates the understanding of the unions and the hard work of the employees several times, not just in the beginning. Let's see here. Stellantis is a battery electric vehicle. He says BEV a lot. Growth was 47%. A lot of that growth came from outside of the United States, because Stellantis does not have any sort of meaningful foothold in EVs here in the U.S. And I'm just going to go ahead and include North America on that, although they are getting there with the Ram EV and the EV Jeeps that they're building. They're going to build an electric motor production plant at the latter half of 2023, and then they're going to start validating battery cell production soon. Next up, we're going to get to the second part of Carlos's remarks. So let's go ahead and jump into that.
We are now successfully introducing our national sales company for CBU sales and the Jeep Direct online sales in the Chinese market. It's working very well. It's contributing to the increase of the profitability in China. And even more important, we are now, as we speak, manufacturing the first new Citroën C3 EV version based on the smart car platform, which is going to give us a fantastic tool to be competitive against new entrants in the mature markets, i.e. the Chinese entrants in the mature markets. So we have the tool with the smart car platform-based family, and with the EV technology that we have on that platform, We have now the tool to be able to fight on the middle of the market, if not the low end of the market, in terms of profitability and cost competitiveness vis-a-vis the new entrants. If we move from here to the brands, let's start with Jeep, our global SUV brand. Jeep doing a fantastic job. The first ever pure EV, the Jeep Avenger, as I said, was awarded European Car of the Year 2023, which demonstrates that the teams did not waste any time to bring the EV technology to Jeep in the European market. We are now starting the sales of this product very soon. We will bring also in 24 the all-electric Recon from Jeep and the Wagoneer S, a compact Wagoneer, pure EVs that will reinforce our position, namely in the US market. We have successfully launched the Grand Cherokee 4xe, and it's now ramping up on the segment share quite nicely. And we keep on expanding the sales of this icon. As you can see, we are also now expanding the sales of Wagoneer and Grand Wagoneer around the world. Very profitable product, very high-end product for this brand. And of course, Middle East and Africa represent a big opportunity that we are going to grasp in 2023. When you look at Ram, we have the all-time highest US average transaction price. That's great. It means that our customers are recognizing the value that we create with the Ram pickup trucks. Pricing power is fine. As I said, the ProMaster BEV is going to be launched this year in H1, and we'll start delivering those BEV vans in H2. But more importantly, you have seen at the CES in January, the brand new 1500 BEV pickup truck from Ram. You have seen the appeal. You have seen the fantastic creativity that our teams have demonstrated through the different functionalities. And you can also trust that our performance index against our competitors in terms of combining towing, payload, speed of charging and range, using those four performance KPIs, I can assure you that we are going to have the most competitive BEV pickup truck in the US market. So more to come. Stay tuned. This is going to be big news very soon. I can also tell you that when we open the pre-orders for the next BEV 1500 Ram pickup truck, we were sold out in 3 days for the first model year. So 3 days to sell the whole production of the first model year of the BEV pickup truck. If we go to Dodge, Dodge has been doing a fantastic job with the Challenger. We are the number one selling muscle car in the US for the second year in a row. Pricing power is stellar. And we are now introducing the all new Hornet that will start deliveries in H1 2023. So we will reinforce the business of Dodge in this year. And I can tell you that the way we are preparing for the e-muscle car in the future is just outstanding from every different dimension I have seen: sound, acceleration, performance, design, connectivity, features, you name it. The e-Dodge is going to be a fantastic success in this market. So those were the American brands. If you now go to the upper mainstream, mostly Opel, Vauxhall and Peugeot, it's interesting to see that Opel, within the Stellantis brand portfolio, is the fastest growing brand in BEV sales. So the Opel global BEV sales rate increase is 52%. As you remember, for a whole Stellantis, it was 41. Opel is on the leading edge of BEV sales, which is fantastic. This is what we like them to do, and they have been increasing this sales of BEVs year over year in a significant manner. It's the only brand where the total market share in the BEV market is higher than the total market share in the total market. So Opel is on the edge of electrification. The Corsa continues to be a big success, number one selling car in Germany and UK on this segment hatch. Pricing power is fine. And among the different LCV brands we have, Opel is the number one in terms of BEV sales. Number one in sales growth, number one in LCV sales, which is demonstrating that within the Stellantis galaxy, Opel is the leading brand in terms of electrification. At the same time, Peugeot has demonstrated great success. The number one selling car in U30 for the Peugeot 208, the number one selling car on the E208, starting with France, of course. And pricing power is the reference of the market, growing outside of Europe. And this BEV sales momentum will continue with five new C-segment BEVs in the next 2 years. So now Peugeot is pushing very hard on the BEV sales, already number one with the E208, but will continue to reinforce its leading position. If we move now to the core brands with Citroën and Fiat, as I said, the big news is the launch of the new Citroën C3 based on the smart car platform. Sales are growing steadily in India and in Brazil. The launch has been successful. Very tight control of quality, which is fine. And we are ramping up nicely with those products that have the capability to fight against the newcomers. As I said in the introduction, we are now manufacturing the EV version of the Citroën C3 right now in India for India. But that is going to be an opportunity for other markets as need be. Pricing power is fine. The Oli concept that was launched in Europe has shown the vision for the brand. And this vision is going to translate in great new products very soon. So I can tell you that this concept car has been extremely inspiring to show us the way to be modern, clean, affordable, and light in the way we bring zero-emission mobility to our customers. At the same time, Fiat has been doing a great job. Fiat brand is a market leader in Brazil, in Turkey and Italy. Strong market shares, as you can see. The Fiat 500e is the third most sold BEV in Europe. Number one in Italy, number two in Spain, number three in Germany. Could have been better had we had more supply. So we were limited by the supply, but the potential of this product is much higher than number three. Pricing power is fine. And the brand new Fiat BEVs are now coming. They will start this year in 23. And you see now the power of Stellantis at work. All the new BEVs from Fiat, as much as you have seen the Jeep Avenger, are coming. And I can tell you that given the capability of this team to sell, I can tell you there is a very bright future ahead, given the pipeline of products that we have for this brand. So very excited about what we are going to see.
With that rundown that he just ran through all the brands in Stellantis, you really see that they are a global automaker in the truest sense of the term, right? He talked about the Citroën C3, which is a smart car EV built on the smart car platform. It's going to be released in a variety of markets, including China. This wasn't on purpose, but when Alice and I sat down on Monday and discussed the three EVs that I told you about, two of those automakers are from China, and those are BYD, which is Build Your Dreams, and Great Wall Motors. So that even just kind of ties into that conversation with Allison. The Jeep Avenger was the European Car of the Year in 2023. The Jeep Grand Cherokee 4XE is going well. Let's see. He talked about the ProMaster BEV, which is a work van that Dodge has, or Stellantis, Ram. I think Ram's a brand now and not a under the Dodge brand. As far as the Ram 1500 EV goes, this is not the Ram Rev, that concept that they showed off at CES. This is far from it. And we really won't know what kind of a vehicle in terms of quality this is and efficiency until it's released. So fingers crossed. I hope Ram does a good job on this, but this is a big task for sure. Talked a bit about the Challenger BEV. One of the things that I think is funny is they really put an emphasis. They're really highlighting the Challenger BEV and the pretend motor engine sound, the pretend engine sound. I'm not really sure people really care about the engine sound, and maybe they'll care for a few months, but after that, I don't think anybody cares. And if it gets turned off by accident, they're not going to turn it back on because it's a pretend engine sound. It's an MP3. It's nothing. It's not that big of a deal. Don't underestimate the sound of an electric motor winding up as you accelerate as being exciting. Like when I hear an electric motor winding up and you're accelerating really fast, to me, that's a better sound than a pretend motor sound that sounds like a gas motor. I don't know. I think they're putting too much emphasis on that sound. Talked a little bit about Opel being the fastest growing BEV sales for them, leading the brands when it comes to electrification. They talked about Peugeot having 5 new C-segment vehicles. And as best as I can tell, C-segment is a European term, and it's just like a, you know, regular size sedan. They also mentioned LCV, which is like commercial vehicle when you hear that. Let's see. Citroën C3, we talked a little bit about that. He did talk about hydrogen vehicles, but I cut that out. But the hydrogen vehicles that he was speaking of were for commercial vehicles. Talked a little bit about Alfa Romeo, but I cut that out. I can't remember if he talked about it in the clip that I just played you, or this is coming up on the next clip. But he does talk a little bit about their software strategy, which has 3 pillars. The STLA, or Stella Brain. And on, I went to their website to get this information. This is how they frame the Stella Brain. The heart of a transformation to customer-centric services is the new electrical, electronic, and software architecture, the Stella Brain. This service-oriented architecture, which is fully cloud-integrated, disconnects the hardware and software cycles, enabling the creation of deployment of features and services more rapidly through over-the-air updates without the need to wait for a new hardware launch. So this is just making the car better over time. You know, not new. And then the second pillar is the Stella Cockpit. Built on top of the Stella Brain, the Stella Smart Cockpit will seamlessly integrate with the digital lives of vehicle occupants, transforming the vehicle into a personalized living space. The Stella Smart Cockpit's next generation interface offers users a more natural way of interacting with their vehicle based on inputs ranging from touch and voice to glance and gesture. And then finally, we have the Stella Auto Drive. Developed in partnership with BMW, the Stella AutoDrive will offer Level 2, Level 2 Plus, Level 2 Plus is a marketing term, and Level 3 autonomous driving capabilities, which will be continuously upgraded through over-the-air updates. We are already selling the best Level 2 solution with semi-automated lane changes, and we are preparing for release of our first Level 3 solutions. And it goes on to mention that Stellantis is actually working with Waymo for Level 4 and above autonomous driving. That part was actually interesting. All right, let's move on to our third and final part of Carlos's opening remarks.
If we look at the full electrification ecosystem, it's a rewarding slide, a little bit busy, but quite rewarding. Not only we are growing our BEV sales by 41%, which I think in the automotive industry is a very nice number, if not the best. We are currently selling 23 pure BEV models. By the end of this year, 23 will be at 32. By the end of next year, will be doubling against 22 at 47 models, BEVs. What does it mean? It means that the execution capability of Stellantis in delivering the ramp up of the BEV models that we bring to the market. And we told you 75 plus models by 2030 just means that we are perfectly on track. As you imagine, 47 in 2024 is absolutely the right number to be at 75 by 2030. So the execution capability of the company is a reality. It's not a surprise for me, but perhaps for some of you. And I just would like you to recognize this reality. In the meanwhile, our gigafactories are on. We have selected the five sites, Douvrin, Kaiserslautern, Termoli, Windsor, and Kokomo, in France, Germany, Italy, Canada, and the US. We have some very expert partners, in addition to ACC, like LG and Samsung. You see the gigawatt hours capacity of those plants. We are on track to be at 400 gigawatt hours by 2030. And one of the big things that was highlighted a few months ago, which was how do we secure the raw materials, has been progressing significantly. You see here a list of five companies with which we have signed some strategic deals. It's about securing the supply of lithium hydroxide, the supply of manganese, sulfate, nickel, and cobalt. And we have been securing the supply of those raw materials because we don't want to run out of battery supply the day the market starts really to achieve what we expect it will achieve. At the same time, we continue to develop our ecosystem of electric components. E-motors, our JV with Nidec is now live, producing the M3 electric motor that I was mentioning, already equipping our B-segment BEVs. E-transmission, bringing the electrified DCTs to the market this year. Factorial, working on solid-state batteries for 2026. And Symbio, in which we took a stake to have access to the best fuel cell technology on the stack. So all of this is now being set up. As you imagine, a few years ago, nothing of this existed. So I just would like to recognize the very strong contribution from our planning team, our purchasing team, our manufacturing team. I can tell you in the backyard, they have been working 24/7 to get this done. And it's also a demonstration that we are not talking about transformation. We are doing it. Please realize, we are not talking about it. We are just doing it. It's important that we understand that. Let's now go to one of our most exciting products, the new all-electric Ram 1500, the REV. You have seen it at the CES. It will come by the end of next year. Great deal of functionalities, fantastic design, a fantastic performance in terms of combining payload, towing, speed of charge, and range. And I can tell you to a certain extent the fact that we are coming to the market after a few of our respected competitors is something that we are fully leveraging to bring the most competitive BEV pickup truck to the market. This is, of course, a big challenge for our North American teams, and their talent and their focus will make the difference. And this is what we try to convey to you at the CES in January this year.
All right. Some of the stuff in that clip we've already covered, so we're just going to go through this really quick. Full electrification transformation is what they're working towards. They currently have five gigafactories on track to be opened soon, which is, and these are scattered all around the world, so that's pretty cool. It sounds like Stellantis is putting itself in position to be a real competitor in terms of EVs. Now, whether they can build an affordable and compelling product in the future, that remains to be seen, but they're putting all the pieces in place so that they can be a player in the EV market. I don't know if they would be a leader in the EV market, but a player nonetheless. When Tesla started building electric vehicles, a lot of the parts that they needed to succeed were not widely available or available for what they wanted to do. Maybe they had to repurpose some parts to make it work in like the Roadster and the Model S, for instance. Or some of these parts maybe weren't available in the quantities that Tesla needed. And at that same time, very few people were actually trained on building electric vehicles, manufacturing electric vehicles. And those who were trained on building these vehicles built very underwhelming EVs. That was then. That was 10 plus years ago. Now there's a whole marketplace for EVs. I understand that a lot of these automakers are building these products in-house, and doing as little as, or at least they're saying they're doing this, they're doing as little as outsourcing as they can get away with. They have tier one, tier two suppliers, but in reality, if they can do it themselves and it makes financial sense, they're doing it. The message that I got, the overall message that I got from the opening remarks from Carlos was that they are working on this transition towards EVs. The ICE business, the internal combustion engine business that Stellantis has, is still doing very well. And it doesn't sound like they're getting rid of that anytime soon. But they have all of those components in place. Parts, software, powertrains, battery cells, service, raw materials, and more. They talked about all of this stuff. Honestly, in my head, I had preconceived notions about this, and I did not think that they were going to have a very good grip on EVs, and we were just going to hear maybe some lip service paid every now and again on the earnings call, and that was it. And that was not the case. It's definitely a focus. I don't know how serious they are internally, but externally, I got the feeling that they are very serious about this transformation, which makes me happy. Now we're going to move to our analyst questions. And our first question comes from George Gaylers, and he's going to ask about electrification. And it's a financial question, but it still has good information that I think is helpful for folks who listen to the show.
Thank you. And thank you for taking my question. I had two questions really surrounding slide 16 on electrification. Obviously, you've seen a very big improvement in your battery electric vehicle volumes and your market leader in commercial vehicles in Europe and second overall. But when we look at the profitability in Europe, you're still very close to a 10% margin. So the first question I had was, could you just give us some insight into how the gross margin on your battery electric vehicles are faring compared to your ICE vehicles today? And how you think that will evolve as you put all the different pieces of this ecosystem into place over the next 2 to 3 years. The second question I had was in reference to the CapEx. Richard, you did mention the capitalization of the various JVs around the batteries. Could you just confirm, is that included within the 8% CapEx ratio that you're targeting? Thank you.
Two very important questions, and thank you for raising that. I'll take the first one, and Richard will take the second one. On the BEV, what we need to understand is that that will perhaps surprise you, but we don't take margins as a consequence of everything else. We drive the business to achieve the margins that we need to get from our investments. So we are driving the margins of the PHEVs, and we are driving the margins of the BEVs, which means that at one point in time, what we may discover, the two of us, is that there is the need to ensure a higher price competitiveness because, for instance, of new entrants. And not only we are optimizing all of the costs of our electric powertrains, as we are fully vertically integrated, but on top of that, we also consider that we need to work on more breakthrough ideas like the one I mentioned to you about the EV smart car platform-based vehicles that will represent another breakthrough in terms of cost for BEVs at the core of the market. So we are addressing from both ends. One end is to say we don't take margin as a result of everything else. We drive margins and then we allocate what needs to be allocated so that the margins are to a certain extent protected. What is clear is that we need not only to take care of the amount of margin, but also the rate of profitability, because on average, the net revenue per unit of EVs is higher than the ICEs. So we are working on that. But so far, margins are not the big problem. The big problem will come later, which is the affordability of BEVs for the middle classes. That is coming. That is coming within a few years. As we see, the new entrants may set a certain level of pressure on the market. That's why we are preparing with the EV Citroën C3 smart car platform based as an example. But of course, that can be used for other brands as need be. So we take it from there. And so far, the sales of BEVs, as you have seen, have not impacted us on our earnings, because our earnings are just record, as you have seen. That's how we see it. Not easy, certainly. Not one single direction. It's not only about selling the value of what we create through a high pricing. It's also understanding that new entrants are coming. And against those new entrants, we need specific breakthrough plans that fortunately we could anticipate, because if we are manufacturing the new Citroën C3 EV right now in India, is because we decided that 3 or 4 years ago, of course. So that was hopefully a good anticipation of what could happen with new entrants.
Here are a couple of the things that I liked in that answer. They need to stay price competitive because they're kind of late entrants into this market. They reiterated Stellantis' commitment to EVs. And they need to make BEVs, or battery electric vehicles, affordable for the middle class, which I am 100% on board with. Our next question has to do with the Belvedere plant, which they're actually shutting down. And by shutting the plant down, they had to lay off workers. The question was, what do you have to say to the workers you just laid off at the Belvedere plant? I'm not going to play the initial question, because Carlos actually thought the gentleman asked something different. And so there was some interaction between Carlos and the person asking the question that just made this clip go longer. So I cut that out. So let's go ahead and listen to that.
So the plant is being idled next week. What is your message to the workers who are being laid off?
Well, my message is very simple. By the way, not only to the workers, but to you also. It's very simple. We as citizens have decided to go in an electrification path, which is very, very expensive. This has been decided by the governments on the basis of what the parliaments have decided. So I just would like to tell you that the decision to go on a full electrification path is not a decision that has been made by the car makers. It's a decision that has been made by the states, by the governments, through the democratic process of listening to the parliament decisions and proposals. The states have decided to go electric. As you know, this is true for Europe. It is true for North America. From there, we have the responsibility to bring safe, clean, and affordable solutions to protect freedom of mobility in our societies. And that's our mission. Our mission is to bring clean, safe, and affordable solutions to ensure freedom of mobility to our citizens. This is exactly what we are doing. When we do this, and we execute on physical evidence what it means to bring a safe, clean, and affordable vehicle, we see that there is a very significant challenge on cost. It is not our decision. It is the cost of the technology, specifically the cost of the technology. When you start developing a brand new technology, this additional cost needs to be absorbed in a way or another. If you don't absorb the cost, then either the market is going to shrink dramatically, because the middle classes will not be able to buy EVs. If the market shrinks, then the industry needs to shrink. Or you don't pass the cost to the consumer, you put yourself in the red, and you need to restructure your company because you have put your company in trouble. So you see, in both directions, from a social perspective, it's not very good. So what we need to do is to absorb in a few years, because the time window is imposed on us, we need to optimize the way we go to market. We need to optimize the way we manufacture our BEVs. We need to optimize the way we source the components of our BEVs to make sure that we absorb the additional cost of this technology to protect the affordability. So anything we will be doing, not specifically with Belvedere, but everywhere in the world, will be aiming at absorbing the additional cost of a technology that was decided by the states, by all the states, in a democratic process. And our job is to make it affordable, to make it safe, and to make it absolutely clean. That's our job. So do we take responsibility for transforming the company to adapt to this new world? Yes, we do. We take responsibility for transforming the company to adapt to a new world. This new world has been decided by the citizens. It has not been decided by our companies. Our companies are in support of something that has been decided by the citizens. So every time we do something, we try to do it in a very humanistic way. And I think we have demonstrated that over the last years. We have demonstrated that we drive change in a humanistic way and respect our people because they are the highest core value of our company. At the same time, it would be demagogic not to tell them the truth. The truth is, the societies have decided a new way of enjoying mobility. Our job is to make that new way clean, safe, and affordable. Right now, it's not affordable at all. Right now, the big problem of electrification is to make it affordable, which means absorbing the additional cost, which means transforming the company to be able to bring that affordability to our citizens and our customers. That's what we are doing. And I have no problem to tell you this in a very respectful and friendly manner, as much as I have no problem to say the same thing to all of my employees.
As many of you know, I am a proud union member. And if there's a side to pick from, to side with, to back between management and labor, I usually pick labor just as my natural, that's where I'm naturally drawn because I am technically labor and not management. Having said that, I'm not unrealistic in the fact that I know that unions can be problematic, in terms of how we do things. But I think that is mostly in the past. I think we just want a seat at the table. I don't like seeing anybody laid off. I don't think it's an easy decision by most managers. I wouldn't say all, because there's probably some that don't care that much. I don't think it's an easy decision to lay off people or to shutter a plant that's going to not only it's not only going to cause problems for the people who work in the factory, it's going to have overall problems for folks who live in that surrounding area. That sucks. Having said that, I don't think his answer was a bad answer. I'm not sure. Sounds like he's blaming the government for the layoffs a little bit. He does say that, you know, the citizens have decided that this is where we're going. And he does take responsibility. He says, this was my choice to shut it down, and we had to do it because it's a cost cutting measure to meet future mandates of what governments are mandating and what customers want to buy. Overall, I will say that I think this was a fair answer by Carlos. Our next question and final question is about the Ram EV performance metrics and how does it compare to peers, which includes the Cybertruck?
On the Ram 1500 electric, obviously, you know, very competitive product. Can you comment on maybe the possibility that the target to match or even outperform the performance metrics we are seeing from peers, including the Tesla Cybertruck? Thank you.
On the pickup truck, what we have been doing is, on a voluntary basis, we are being quite vague in the performance KPIs of our pickup truck, our BEV pickup truck. Why? Because we don't want to give the information to our competitors. But what I can tell you is that we have spent many, many hours, including me, looking at the performance of our competitors and making sure that when we look at a composite index of charging speed, range, payload, towing, we bring the best offer of the market. And I'm very excited by the quality of our engineering. Some of it was demonstrated through the concept car you have seen in Las Vegas in January. I think they are doing a great job. Now we need to let them work, keep their focus, let them be focused on what they do, and hopefully things will appear by the end of 24. I'm very positive about the competitiveness of what we are doing. But of course, as always, planning is 10%. Execution is 90%. So right now we are focused on the execution.
What is the cost to be competitive? And I'm not necessarily talking about the financial cost. What is the cost to be competitive in a market when you are going to be the third or maybe fourth major player in a space like pickup trucks? The Ram 1500, we already have the F-150 Lightning out. Chevy's close to releasing their pickup truck, their electric pickup truck. I think that's coming. It's supposed to come in the spring, but I haven't seen hide nor hair of it. So probably maybe in July or August, September, somewhere around that area. And then GMC has their pickup truck that they are set to release here soon. And then you have the Cybertruck, which may or may not actually see the light of day in 2023. Who knows? We have some Cybertruck news on our Friday show. Production news, it's very small. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The cost to be competitive, like they said that they sold out of EV reservations for the Ram 1500 EV. They said they sold out in 3 days, and that's great. We don't know how many vehicles their first year of production will be, but they sold out in 3 days. That's good for them. I'm happy for them. But they are late to the game. No matter how many times in an earnings call, a CEO says, we are industry leading in EVs, you're not. Tesla, unless you're Tesla, and then you are. But if you're not Tesla, and what we'll say Hyundai in there as well, you're not. You're not industry leading. You are trying to catch up. And right now, somebody who has a $100 reservation on a Ram 1500, you don't know how much it's going to cost. You don't really know what the specs are. You don't know 100% when it's going to come out. By the way, these are all the same things that I can say about the Cybertruck now that I'm saying them out loud. But my point is, Ram is coming at this 4 years after the Cybertruck was announced, right? That's 4 years. They're coming at this two or three years after the F-150 was announced. They're coming at this, months after the GMC Sierra EV was announced. Like, I don't think it's going to be a detriment to them to kind of say, look, here are the specs or features that we're going to tease for the Ram 1500. I don't think that's going to benefit competitors at all. I do think it benefits Ram because if they fall short of those specs, they don't have to make a mea culpa on that. But yeah, like the Ram 1500, I'm sure will be a nice truck, but it's not the Ram Rev, which got a lot of people excited about the electrification of the Ram. It's the same old truck with an electric motor. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But let's not make it into something that it's not. And it's not an industry-leading truck. It's a truck that you've announced that you haven't built yet. So I'm curious, what are your thoughts on Stellantis' earnings call? I thought it was actually pretty good. It's a more world-centric and less North American-centric, which I know we have lots of listeners all over the world. So I'm kind of hoping that this was interesting to everybody. I would like your feedback, though. Bodie, B-O-D-I-E, at 918digital.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at 918digital. And I do want to give a plug to my other podcast that I do with my buddy Chris. It's called Shuffle Playlist. There's a link in the show notes. We talk about one song every 2 weeks. Each episode is less than 10 minutes, although this next episode is a little longer than 10 minutes. And we talked about Megadeth's song, Sweating Bullets. And if you want to know what it sounds like in my head, if I'm forced to sit in silence for too long, listen to this podcast, because Sweating Bullets pretty much nails it. All right, everybody, that is it for me this week. Thank you so much for being patient and listening to the show. I hope you all have a wonderful day, and I will talk to you Friday.